You know, I thought it was going to be tough following Randy. Randy's got nothing on them. Are you been blessed?
Amen.
You know, Randy kind of set the table for this. It's kind of interesting. When I first... at the end of the Faith and Freedom thing, and we were sitting at the table, and Jeff and I were kind of talking, and I just said, you know, we used to do tent meetings back in New Mexico, and I'd been kind of thinking about doing one here, and he was like, do it, man, do it, you know, we'll come, you know, that kind of thing. And originally I had kind of planned it, it was just my thought. God had other ideas, but in the beginning, you know, it was just my thought. I was going to get different speakers, different people, and let them minister to all of us. But somewhere along the way, God laid this on my heart, what we're going to hear tonight. And so we made changes, and I had asked Randy. I'd already asked Randy, and he just said, what's the theme? And I just said, I don't even know a theme. It's just like church wake up, you know. If you want to call it a theme, church needs to wake up. And we know we do. We do. And so he came, and we had no conversation. And he's a friend of mine, and we see each other regularly at different things. But we never discussed any passages or messages or anything like that. And he came and shared his heart the last two nights. And for the benefit of those that weren't there, I will now quite accurately recite both of his messages before I do mine. No. I'll try to shorten it a little. The first one, though, if you recall, it was about our position. It's about we are children of God, and our position is with Him in the heavenlies. We're children of the Most High God. And the second message was about His presence and His power. His presence is always with us. His power is available. And so, man, those are great messages, and He was powerful and all that. But I was a little jealous because my message is kind of lower in the boom on us. Because when you are challenged with something like that, what He presented, the question now becomes, how do we respond to it? Because to whom much is given, much is required.
Yes.
And so when you hear a good word like we heard the last two nights, there's a responsibility that goes with that. And how do we respond? And so there's been a lot of things happening in the last couple of months. I've heard a lot of different messages, been to a lot of conferences, and these themes have been coming up and in my head, and God kind of mixed it all around and everything. And then, you know, here it is. You know, this is what came out, okay? So we'll see where it goes.
Only one page.
Only one page. Yay! My group will let you know, though, that doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Usually my outlines aren't even this crowded, and I'll still go 50 minutes or so. But you know, everybody went longer than I thought, so I should get like equal time. Right? You got nowhere else to go, right? I mean, got nowhere else to go. But honestly, though, we must take into account what we've learned, what we've heard. And God wants to do something. And what's cool about this is we got four churches here, all out of feeling. And you know, and we're not here by accident, folks. There's no coincidences with God's children. And we're here, and we're all in the same community. And you know, there's I got this source, this resource. Really, it's not a source. They do demographics and things like that. And there's like in Phelan, what they call Phelan / Pinyon Hills, kind of, you know, there's like 20-something thousand people. And on any given Sunday, all of our churches together, how many's there? There's a tremendous mission field right where we're at, right? I mean, if we added up all what we got, we don't even have 1,000. And there's 20-something thousand. So, you know, I'm really not afraid of Set Free taking any people from me. And, you know, and I'm not afraid of Pastor Jeff, you know, cutting into the harvest. Ha, ha, pun, little pun there. Ha. You like that, huh? You like that, right? You know, there's plenty to go around here. Right? And your group's going to reach people, our group's not going to reach, and all around all the same. And so, amen. Amen. And so, how do we respond? So I want to take you, and let me tell you, you know, this is really killing me because I'm preaching at myself, and I'm really kind of preaching at the pastors here tonight as well. I mean, it's a challenge for the individual, but it's a challenge for us who lead. And we need to look at that. And so if you want to turn, if you have your Bible, if you have your phone that's not on the Dodger game, Mark chapter 10, okay, and verse 46 through 52. There's only seven verses there, so how long could I go, right? There's only seven verses. And it's a familiar story. It's Jesus healing the blind man, Bartimaeus. And I'll just read the passage. They came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the road. And when he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out, "Son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me." Many people told him to keep quiet, but he was crying out all the more, "Have mercy on me, son of David." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man and they said to him, "Have courage, get up, he's calling for you." He threw off his coat, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And then Jesus answered him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Rabbi," the blind man told him, "I want to see." "Go your way," Jesus told him, "your faith has healed you." And immediately he could see and began to follow Jesus on the road. And what we have here is this encounter. Someone has an encounter with the living God in the form of Jesus Christ. And I got a word for each verse. One word, but I'm going to say more than that. But one word for each verse, and then at the end, I got a question from each verse for you to ponder, for you to think about. And the first word for verse 46 is location. Location. They came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the road. You know, sometimes we think we are where God wants us to be, but we're blind. And we don't see where God wants us to be. In reality, check yourself. In reality, a lot of times we are where we want to be. You think about that. God wants us to be where He wants us to be. Location is important. And He's sitting there by the road. And you know what? I think almost all churches sit by the road, don't they? And we're sitting there by the road. And people are going by every day. And they're going somewhere, and it's not good where they're going. And we're here And we're singing our praise songs, which we should. We got a lot to praise God for. But what about those people out there? Location is important. And we sometimes need to stop and take an honest, unbiased look at where we are as a church, as individuals, and ask God, am I where I'm supposed to be? Because you know what? We can be blinded and we can think we're just right where we're supposed to be, and we're not. We're where we want to be. We got to separate our desires from His and choose His. And so the question is, you know, the word is location, but the question is, are you willing to take a reality check? And just say, in reality, am I where I want to be, or am I where God wants me to be? And only you can answer that question. No one else can. Second word, verse 47, is power. Power. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out, Son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me. You know, we can become, in churches, we can become more dependent upon our methods and our programs than we are on Jesus. We sit there and we say, oh, you know, I got this thing here and this thing here, and it's not working. Well, you know what? Jesus works every time. And we need to start counting on Him to do something supernatural, and it's not our program, and it's not our methodology. Bartimaeus had his program. Think about it. What was his program? Go out there and sit by the side of the road and beg. And beg. That was his program. But you know what? Here comes Jesus. And Bartimaeus, he realized there's power available. That's just what Randy was talking about. There's power available. We are not a captive to our programs, or at least we shouldn't be. We shouldn't be. It's not our program, folks. It's the gospel.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
The gospel is what has the power. It's not your choir, which is great. It's not your order of service. It's not our leaders per se. You know, we got the right guy. Listen, God used a donkey. Okay. So that doesn't put us in very good company, other pastors. God used a donkey. You know, to get somebody's attention, right? So, you know, I hope we're a little better than a donkey, but
one step above.
Just a step above. But, it's not us. It's the program. It's the gospel. It's the power of the gospel. And I have a question for you. Are you trusting in the power of the gospel? Because it's the power of the gospel that changes lives. It's the power of the gospel that goes into the heart of people and does something that nothing else can do. It's the truth of what Jesus Christ did on the behalf of all mankind. That's power, folks. That's power. And Bartimaeus recognized that was power coming down the road. He was blind, but he could see. And he knew that was his chance. And that brings us to the next word in verse 48. It says, many people told him to keep quiet. But he was crying out all the more, have mercy on me, Son of David. And you know what that word is? Desperation, folks. Desperation is the word. He's sitting by the road just like every other day. Just like every other day. And when Jesus got close, he became desperate. I mean, he was just saying, Hey, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. But then people started telling him to shut up. And so it says, he cried out all the more. He was desperate. Churches can get into routines. And even realize where they are. You can know you're located, you can know you're in the right place. But let me ask you something. As an individual or as a church, are we desperate? Are we desperate for the power of Jesus Christ? Bartimaeus got desperate, and he would not let anything keep him from Jesus. When they tried to shush him, he just cried out louder. He wouldn't shut up. And listen, God is drawn to the desperate. He is drawn to the desperate. Because you know what? When we get desperate, we have crossed the line. We cross the line from being self-sufficient to being dependent on Him. You know, I don't, you know, if I get way, you know, if I go to the beach, and I love the beach, and go out to only this deep, I never get desperate. I play it safe because I know my ability will get me back. But if you get out there a little too far and it gets beyond your ability, you can become desperate, can't you? You can become desperate. And when we get desperate, we have realized our abilities are not sufficient. Let me ask you something. You want miracles in your life? See, Bartimaeus wanted a miracle in his life. He was desperate. He wanted to see. You want miracles in your life? Will you put yourself in a position to receive one? Why should God save you from the water when you're only knee deep? Get out in the deep water. That's where the action is, folks. That's where you need God. And if you want a miracle, you got to put yourself in a position to get one. You think about that. I have a question for you. Are you desperate for God's power in your life? Are you desperate for it? It's not just do you want it. I think every Christian, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I want God in my life. Yeah. No, are you desperate for it? Because that's what tips the scale. That's what starts to get God involved in your situation when it gets beyond you and you're desperate. Verse 49, Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man and said to him, "Have courage, get up, he's calling for you." And the key word there is calling. He is not, listen, he's not calling you to stay the same. He's not calling you to stay the same. He's calling you to change. And before you get all offended, because I know you think you're good, let me ask you a question. Do you think you, as an individual, or you as a church, do you think you are exactly the way Jesus wants you to be? Then you need to change. Okay? I mean, you just convicted yourself. Jesus is calling us to change, folks. We're not Him yet. I mean, hopefully we're a little more like Him today than we were yesterday. Sanctification, it's a process. Okay? But are you willing to answer the call and be changed? And I'm not talking about salvation. I mean, yeah, that's... But, you know, when was that? What, I hope you changed some since then. Are you willing to answer the call and be changed? And then you know what happens when you're called? We get verse 50. He threw off his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. You know what the key word is? Move. You know, move. Amen. We sit, don't we? We get comfortable. We get in the place we're used to. And we don't want to move. Got my drink right here, you know. Got my Coke sitting right here. Got the Dodger game on right here. Okay. Popcorn. Popcorn, okay, cool. We get the popcorn or the chips. And we don't want to move. We just want to enjoy life. Jesus wants us to move. When Jesus calls, are you willing to move? Will you step out in faith? You know, look at this. Bartimaeus, he jumps up and throws off his coat. You realize that was probably the most valuable thing that guy owned? You know, that was his only thing for shelter, to beat off the cold or protect him from the sun or, and he just throws that thing off. Jesus called and he said, you know what? Nothing's going to hold me back. You know, the stuff we hold dear holds us back. It keeps us from being where God wants us to be. He wants us to move. Nothing we have now is worth the glorious things that Jesus wants to bring into our life. I didn't hear very many amens on that. Yeah, you're writing. I thought maybe everybody was just thinking, I don't want to give that up. I don't want to give up my bass boat. I don't want to give up my rifle. I don't want to give up. You fill in the blank. Moving, listen, moving requires sacrifice. It's going to cost you something. Are you willing to sacrifice in order to move? That's the question. Verse 51. Jesus answered him, what do you want me to do for you? Man, wouldn't you just love Jesus to come and ask you that? Knowing full well he has the power to grant anything? Jesus answered him, what do you want me to do? And Rabboni, the blind man, told him, I want to see. I want to see. Keyword, vision. Vision. You know, church leaders, do you sense that God wants to do something really big? Are you hesitant? Are you fearful? Because we tend to look at things through our own eyes, you know. And that's human. That, and we, you know, we got a good excuse because we are human. But you know what? We could be missing out on experiencing God's greatest blessings. You might say you're doing good. You know, and if you challenge people about their church and stuff, you say, well, we got a good church. You know, people love the Lord and we go out and we minister and, you know, we have a food bank or we serve a meal or we put on a 4th of July extravaganza, you know, you know. Because I know all these churches here were involved in that, you know, and we did that and it was great. It was great. But you know what? It was all good. But you know what? It's a sin to be good when God's called you to be great. Amen. You think about it. You think about it. It's a sin to be good if God's called you to be great. And I don't know about you, but I call my God great. God is a great God. Why would He call me just to be good? Why would He call me just to be so-so? Why would He call our churches to be mediocre? You know, nothing really bad happening, but, you know, so it's good. I mean, it's positive and uplifting and some people get saved and, you know, that kind of thing. But it's a sin to be good, folks, if God's called you to be great. We have the power available to be great, not in of ourselves, but Him working through us. That's where it's at. So the question is, are you willing to dream big? Are you willing to dream big? Then lastly, see, this went faster than you thought, didn't it? But I'm not really done because I got more on the conclusion than I have all the other stuff. Verse 52. Go your way, Jesus told him. Your faith has healed you. And immediately he could see and he began to follow him on the road. Keyword, follow. Follow. God, listen, God has not called us to settle for less. He has called us to great things. We have been positioned with Christ. We learned that on Wednesday. Gosh, seemed like forever ago. Yesterday, Randy talked. His presence is real. His power is available. Question becomes, do we believe enough to follow? It's easy for us to say, hey, you know, yeah, oh yeah, Jesus is real. Yeah, he, you know, he's right here. I know he's here. My spirit bears witness with his spirit. You know, all those spiritual things we say, we quote scripture and stuff. But the bottom line is, action's where it's at. You know, James, what did he say, you know? Because of my faith, that's why I do stuff. Don't hear the word only. Do we believe enough to follow? We say we believe. Do we believe enough to follow? And now we come to the real message. How much time? Oh, I got a lot of time. Just getting going. No. What keeps us from being everything Jesus wants us to be? See, that's the question. That's the question. You know, he's location important. I mean, we got to know where we're at. You know, we got to know that we're right where Jesus wants us. Power, you know, we got to be tapped into his power. Can't be our power. Got to be his. We got to be desperate for something to happen. You know, we got to have an attitude of desperation that, boy, if God, if you don't show up, this thing's not going to happen. Okay? And then a calling. You know, he's calling us to change and become more like himself. And then we got to have the faith to get up and move and then get the vision that we need to have, you know, for him to work through our life and then follow him. But what keeps us from being everything he wants us to be? And you know what I believe it is? I believe it's a lack of passion. A lack of passion. Let me define passion for you. Passion is an intense emotion, a compelling action, or a strong devotion to an object, activity, concept, or person. Now I'll say that again, because I know that's mouthful. And Eric's trying to write quickly. I can burn you a copy of this if you want. I mean, you know. You could steal it. I don't care. It's God's. It's free to everybody. Yeah, you're right. It's not stealing. Passion is an intense emotion, a compelling action, or a strong devotion to some object, activity, concept, or person. For us, the person, Jesus Christ. We're devoted, hopefully. We're compelled, hopefully. But let me ask you a question. All these questions. Do you have passion for the lost? Passion for the gospel? Passion for service? Do we have that? You know, here's the thing, and here's the thing I want you to get. Too many times we are bothered. Christians are bothered by things, but we're not burdened for things. You think about that. We are bothered by a lot of things. We can be bothered by the culture. You know, we don't like the way the culture's going. Well, I'm really bothered by, you know, how people, you know, act and behave and, you know, and do that. And they think it's all right, you know, that there's no such thing as absolute truth or things like that. I'm bothered by that. Or we can be bothered by the government. Oh, yeah, right? You know, the government making all these laws and stuff that's really putting the heat on Christianity. We're bothered by that. We can be bothered by broken lives. Maybe in our own family or people that we know or in our church or maybe coworkers or people that we see in the marketplace. We can be bothered by that. We can be bothered by abortion. Millions of babies. We can be bothered by the bondage of drugs. You know, the grip that drugs and alcohol have on people. Satan uses that to destroy lives. We can be bothered by people living without Jesus. You know, we'll meet people and get to know them and we see their life We see their problems, and they've got no faith in anything. They're just trying to handle it all themselves. And we can be bothered by, wow, they got nothing to hang on to. We can be bothered by that. We can also be bothered by people dying without Christ. People that are dying every day and without Christ, going to an eternity that none of us wants anyone to see. We would say that. We're bothered by these things, but are we burdened by these things? That's the question. Listen, bothered is inviting people to church. Burdened is inviting people to Jesus. Now listen, should we invite people to church? Absolutely. But you know, this point was driven home with me because I have a neighbor. And over the years, I had invited him from time to time. Hey man, you should, you know, come to church. And one time we had a movie and I said, hey man, you know, why don't you take your family and come to church and, you know, see this movie? And, you know, and he never came. Then one night, I got a message from my wife. It said, hey, our neighbor, he's in the hospital. He's had a heart attack. They think he's had a heart attack. He thinks he's going to die. Now, I was actually right here. We have a men's group on Thursday night, men's Bible study. We have a great time. We share the scriptures, share points of view. Iron sharpens iron, you know, all that stuff. You know, it's really cool. And we're sitting there. And I get the message, and I just said, you know what? You guys can stay if you want, but I got to go. I got to go to the hospital. And so I go, and he's very distraught. And I start talking to him, and eventually through the course, he prays to accept Christ. Now, but here's the thing. After that, I never had to invite him again. He just comes to church. You know what I mean? It's the difference. Asking him to church is one thing. Asking them to come to Jesus is another. And when Jesus gets in there, you don't got to ask him to come to church. They just kind of show up. Because guess what? They're changed. And you didn't do it. He did. Passion moves us from being bothered to being burdened. Passion moves us from being bothered to being burdened. Now let me ask you, this is a hard one. Hope you take it right. This is to the pastors, including myself. This is a question for us. Aren't you guys glad you're not pastors? Isn't that good? And you shouldn't be if God hasn't called you to be. But if God did call you, there's no better place to be. But let me ask you a question, because this is that reality check. And here's the question. Are you fishers of men, or are you aquarium keepers? Now you think about that. Fish in the aquarium. Because, you know, our churches are like an aquarium. We have a lot of fish. They've been saved. There they are. And are we just keeping the aquarium? Or are we fishers of men? Hopefully we're both. We're supposed to be both. But I also have a question for everyone that's not a pastor. See, I didn't let you off the hook. Jesus has passion for us. do we have passion for Him and for others? Do we? As individuals, are we bothered or are we burdened? Passion makes the difference. Give me a man or a church with vision. Let that vision be fueled by passion and just hang on and see what God does. And God can do that right here in this community through a group of about, what we got here, 70 people maybe, 75 people, 80 people maybe. God can turn this place upside down, man. God can turn feeling upside down. It takes brothers and sisters in the Lord with vision and passion for what God wants to do through their lives and through their churches. And this place be turned upside down. This is supposed to be... Where are you guys, man? This is supposed to be, like, exciting! Amen. Or are y'all just stunned? We're going to have an invitation here. I'm wrapping it up. But we're going to have an invitation here. Whether the need is salvation, there could be someone in this room that needs salvation. You have never confessed to God that you're a sinner. You have never asked Him to forgive you. You have never asked the Holy Spirit to come into your heart. You've never asked any of those questions. You just kind of think you're a good person. And maybe compared to a bunch of people, maybe you are. But you're comparing yourself to the wrong person. Compare yourself to Jesus and see how you stack up. Because that's the bar, folks. And we know we do not measure up to that. But the good news is, the gospel is, Jesus came and paid the price for your sin and mine. He shed His blood on the cross. He died and rose again. And if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved.
Amen.
And there may be someone here today that has never asked God to forgive him, never asked God to save him. You know what though? He's a good God. If you're sincere and you ask Him, He will. He absolutely will. He did it for me. He did it for a whole bunch of people here. He'll do it for you. If you're sitting here without the Lord, you have no excuse. Because you've heard it tonight. You've heard it tonight. So whether the need is salvation, or maybe our need is passion. If our need is passion, we still got to ask the same three questions. Same three questions. Number one, where am I at? You know, if you're lost, you really need to know where you're at. You're in this world without God, and your future is not good. You need to know that. That's called a reality check. I mentioned that before. We need a reality check. And there may be someone here that needs to say, okay, wow, you know, in reality, I need the Lord. Now, for the rest of us, what's your reality check? Let me help you out. Let me ask you a question. You want a reality check? When was the last time you led someone to the Lord? Yourself. That's a reality check, folks. That kind of tells you where your passion level is. When was the last time? Second question. You know that where you're at. You've done the reality check. Next question, what do I need? Passion. Passion for the believer. The unbeliever needs desperation. He needs to be desperate for God because he knows the future is not good. So if you're here without Christ, you need to be desperate for Jesus. If you're here with Christ, you need passion. Third question, And last question. Will I move? Will I move? That's called decision time. If you're lost, you need to make a decision to come forward, accept Christ as your Savior. The rest of us, you need to make a decision. You know what, Lord? I need more passion. I need to be desperate. I need to be willing to put myself in a position to receive a miracle, to have a miracle happen in my life. Not because of foolishness. You know, sometimes we do stupid stuff and then we ask God to bail us out. No, I'm talking about how about serving God out there in the deep end and maybe getting a little over your head, but you do it in faith because you know God's got your back. Okay? There's a prayer in Habakkuk, little bitty book. If you're looking for it, it's like right next to Nahum. So just go to Nahum and find it. We used to have an evangelist that would do that all the time. He'd go to the book of Obadiah and go to the left, you know. I always thought that was funny. Some of you did, so I feel supported. Awesome prayer. One verse. Habakkuk 3:2. Lord, I have heard the report about you. Lord, I stand in awe of your deeds. Revive your work in these years. Make it known in these years. That's quite a prayer. And you know, we look in this Bible and you know, probably most of us have read a lot of this Bible and seen the great things that God has done. And we've heard the report of what God has done. And you know, just like the sister Myrna here talked about what God has done in her life. And we hear those reports and we praise God for them. And we stand in awe of what God can do. You know, God pulls off these kind of events, the tent meeting, the 4th of July thing, or saving somebody that you witnessed to. God does these things, and we stand in awe of it, but we need to pray, you know, God, revive your work in these years, because the past is done, and this is where we're at. Revive your work in these years, make it known in these years. And he says, he finishes it with, in your wrath, Lord, remember mercy. Praise God for mercy, huh? You know what mercy is, right? It's not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Okay? Grace, you get heaven. Mercy, you don't get hell. That's the difference. That's the difference. But in your wrath, Lord, because you know what? Every one of us is deserving of His wrath. But praise God, He remembers mercy. I'm going to have every head bowed, every eye closed. Praise team can come up. They're going to begin to play a song. It's called The Battle Belongs to the Lord. And I guarantee you, in this place, there's some battles taking place right now. Spiritual battles in people's lives. You may be someone here that's lost hope. You may be someone here that's just facing some stuff that you never thought you'd have to face. And there's battles going on. There may be someone here, you know you're on your way to hell. You know you don't have the Lord. And right now there's a battle going on because you know you need to come up here and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And the devil's in there going, you don't need to do that. You're a good person. God would never send anybody to hell. Well, don't you believe that lie. There's only two places. There's heaven and hell. And when you're done in this place, you're going to be in one of those. and the whole thing hinges on what you do with Jesus Christ. If you accept Him, you are saved unto salvation. You are given a new name. Your name is written down in the book of life. Your feet, God reaches down and takes you out of the dirt and puts you on a rock. But if you choose to reject Jesus Christ, then you will pay for your own sin. And God never intended for you to have to do that. He never intended that. That was not His will. But there is a spiritual battle going on, and you may know you need Jesus, and you may be fighting right now, well, what if I go up there? Everybody will see me. So what? Listen, everybody here is for you. Everybody here wants you to enjoy the blessings of a relationship with the living God. Everyone here is on your side. Don't you let Satan lie to you anymore. For the rest of us, we need to come to grips. Spiritual warfare again. I need more passion. I need to be desperate. There's a battle going on there. Well, what if I start sharing with my neighbor? They may not talk to me. That is fear from Satan himself. Listen, the Bible says, what can man do to me? If I've got God, what can man do to me? Let's start having some faith and some passion, some desperation. Because there's people driving by this road the whole night we've been in this tent. They've been driving by and they don't even know they're dying. And they're waiting to hear a word from you or me. God has called us to that. Randy said it, ministry of reconciliation. Reconciling a lost person to the living God. And we have that ministry to just present it. We don't save them. We don't restore them. God does. He just calls us to share. How many would say, would you be honest? How many would say, Brother Mike, I don't know the Lord. I've been wrestling with this for a while. Now you've brought it out. If you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, would you slip your hand up so I can see it? Anybody, if you have a doubt, you can erase that doubt today, right now. You can erase it. Or maybe better said, Jesus will erase that doubt. Okay, as far as I know, everyone here has accepted Christ. I hope that's true. I really do. I hope that's true. Now for the rest of us, how many would say, Brother Mike, God's kind of revealed to me, I need a little more passion in my life. Anybody like that? Amen. God bless you. I need more passion in my life for the things of God. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. How many would say, Brother Mike, I'm going to ask God to make me desperate so that I can experience a miracle. I'm going to start going out in the deep water. Who's there? Amen. God bless you. The deep water is where the fun is, man. That's where the action is. It's no fun to play it safe. Let God have some of your life. See what happens. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray right now that You would instill passion and desperation in our hearts, that this community would be turned upside down for You. That You would take a handful of people and just turn this place over to You, Lord. Satan has had his hand in here too long, and we're here right now to say, Satan, your time is over. My God has moving in, and we're not turning back. We're not turning back. Say amen.
Amen.
We're not turning back. Everyone stand. Come on. Who's going to come forward and just say, I need more passion in my life? And we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, You come up here. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we need passion. We need the passion of the living God in our life, that we can reach out and touch Your creation, Your children, Lord, that You love and died for. We want to touch them with Your truth. so that you can do what only you can do, and that's save them and bring them into relationship with you. And Father, here's your children coming forward and saying, we're on board with you, Lord. We're willing to move. We're willing to be the ones that you're going to use to turn feeling upside down. And we ask for your power right now to fill this place. Fill us with your Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing on a Friday night and feeling on some little street corner on a dusty tent. Amen, Lord. You are truly a great God.